Good morning. It's a new month, and every time we enter a new month, we all enter it with expectation. Expectation to see how God will move and lead us in this month. And like we saw last week, we are not people who are backsliding. We are people who are progressing. And the Lord will lead us one step forward, or many steps forward, or many notches higher. Amen. And this morning I want to speak to you on the theme to build and to plant from the book of Jeremiah. And when we remember Jeremiah, sometimes we remember Jerry, and we actually bring him down to Tom and Jerry, a very low status. But Jeremiah means the Lord exalts, God exalts, and our exalted King Jesus is here to exalt his name in our lives, and also in the process, he will also exalt us. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll prepare our hearts to receive this word as a word from you. And Lord, let that word work in our lives, that we may bear fruit and bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jeremiah's mission is seen here in the first chapter, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. And the Lord put his, verse 9 and 10, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. To build and to plant. That's the theme for today's word. But here in chapter 1 verse 10, the word of the Lord is not only to build and to plant. He says that Jeremiah's mission is to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, which is destructions. And he says, I've set you over nations and kingdoms. And specifically, Jeremiah has a very powerful mission to speak to the kingdom of Judah. And the Bible says that he ministered in the time period of three kings mentioned here. He talks about Josiah, talks about Jehoiakim, and he talks about Zedekiah. But if you see, there are two others also. King Josiah was a good king, and he reigned for 31 years. And out of those 31 years, 20 years, Jeremiah ministers, prophesies during that reign. And then we saw in one of the earlier messages that King Josiah went and fought against King Necho of Egypt, and he died. And then his son Jehoahaz takes on. There are two of these kings that are mentioned here, but they're not mentioned here in the beginning, early chapters of the book of Jeremiah, because this gentleman, King Jehoahaz, he reigned only for 90 days. And this one, Jehoiachin, he reigned for 100 days, 90 days, 3 months and 10 days. So in a span of ministry of 40 years, 100 days and 90 days, very minuscule, very less. So those two kings are not mentioned here in chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So only three kings are mentioned. But the point is that this was like the last part of the kingdom of Judah. When we read the book of Jeremiah is a very powerful book. And when we read the book of Jeremiah, we need to understand these names. Because suddenly you'll have an earlier king in a later chapter. So if you understand, you know, the order, then we'll understand the theme and, you know, what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah's message is a message of hope. Jeremiah's message is a message of expectation. Jeremiah's message is a message of deliverance. You know, now looking back, we'll say, oh, the kingdom of Judah has come to an end. And all Jeremiah's prophecies were prophecies of doom and destruction, exile and captivity. Now we can say that. But if you look closely, Jeremiah's message for us, specifically for us, because we are living in the end times. We are living Jeremiah is like a shadow for us. In the Old Testament, the kingdom of Judah was coming to an end. For us, the coming of Christ is very near, and all these worldly kingdoms are going to come to an end. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near. So at this time, that message is very relevant for us. And let us not look at it as a message of hopelessness, which was what it became for the people of Judah. But even for the people of Judah, God was sending Jeremiah to give a message of hope. A message of hope. And the theme I said is to plant, to build, and to plant. And right through the Gospels, the Lord is speaking to the people, to the church that he is building. He said, I will build my church. In Jude, he says, build yourself in the most holy faith. And, various apostles, they're constantly talking about building and planting. That's another theme. As harvesting, planting is a huge theme for us. And this is also the word for this year, planting of the Lord. To be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, we see Jesus talk about a picture of a man building a house. There are two people. It talks about the wise man who built his house on the rock. He also talks about the foolish man who did not build his house on the rock but built it on sand. And for both these, the storms came, the winds came, and the water ran, and the house that was built on sand fell. But the house that was built on rock stood. And the explanation, the lesson from that parable, Jesus says, is the one who built his house on the rock is the one who heard and obeyed the words of God. Because chapter 7, the last verse, those last verses are the conclusion of what we call as the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew. And the Lord is talking about the kingdom. The Lord is giving words of encouragement. And as he does that, he says to the people, listening is good, but you need to hear the word and also do it. And the one who hears the word and does according to the word is the one who has built his house upon the rock. And then we see in Matthew chapter 13, talks about planting. And there it talks about four grounds. And the fourth ground, which is the good ground, where the seed falls, the seed gives 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And that is the good ground. So this morning, the Lord wants to build, and the Lord wants to plant. And the Lord wants us to hear and do. And the Lord wants us to prepare a ground to receive what he has for us, so that the planting of the Lord may be real in our lives. Both these, the planting, the parable about the planting and the parable about the building, both have to do with God's word. God's word. God's word heard and obeyed is a strong building. God's word prepared is received with proper preparation is a good ground. So it's God's word. And Jeremiah was sent to speak God's word. If you come back to chapter 1, God called Jeremiah to speak to nations, to kingdoms, to kings and to people who will not accept the word. You know, like Christians today, the people of Judah had this boldness. They said, as long as we are living in Jerusalem, as long as the temple of God is there, as long as, you know, the presence of God is there in the temple, nothing will happen to us. Kings have come and invaded us in the past, but nobody has been able to take us captive. But the Lord's message was, look, I am going to bring judgment. If you do not hear my word, if you do not heed, I will not relent. Judgment is coming, because the people of Judah had started worshipping heathen gods. They had built altars on the hills. They started worshipping Baal and Ashtoreths under every tree. So God's judgment was going to come. And God's word kept coming to the people saying, look, relent, repent. And if you repent, I will stop the judgment. I am a God who is a judge who cannot see sin and keep quiet. I'm a God who is merciful. I love the sinner. And the sinner turns back, I will forgive. That is me. I am a God of justice, but I'm also a God of mercy. And he kept saying this, but the word of God was not received by the people of Jeremiah's time. Actually, Jeremiah's ministry is very tough, very tough. And God prepared him. God made his calling so sure. He said, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he says, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. God made Jeremiah's calling so, you know, sure. And he said, look, I want you to prepare yourself. I made you this day, as verse 18, as a bronze wall against the whole land. God made Jeremiah a very strong person in faith, a pillar, like an iron pillar. You know, his heart, I always say this, Jeremiah's heart was a heart of gold, but he had a forehead of flint. He could go and speak God's word to the kings. And people in his day just didn't listen to God's word. In fact, they gave so much trouble to Jeremiah. They put him in a well which had clay soil. You know, you're sinking, and the people came and, you know, pulled him out. He was in prison in the king's court because the king thought, if they're going to capture me, let them capture Jeremiah also. Let us keep him close to us. Inside the court, he was imprisoned, like house arrest. He was palace arrest. Under palace arrest. Difficult ministry, but God gave him a bold heart, a stout heart, a heart of faith. And that's my prayer this morning. You know, as we read, four people who responded to Jeremiah's prophecy. I want us to ask God, Lord, I want to be like the ones who responded positively. But I also want to be Jeremiah, who would be a spokesman of God, a spokesperson of God in this difficult generation. I believe that Harvesting Church is not an ordinary church. Every one of us will be spokespersons for God in the places where God has taken us to. And God will take us to different places, not just within this region, but all over the world. And when God does that, I pray that we will be spokespersons for the Lord with a bronze forehead and what heart? A heart of gold. Amen. Let's look at the first king. Now, this is King Joachim. Joachim was, what happened was when Josiah died, Josiah was fighting against Necho, king of Egypt. He died there. And his son, young son, Jehoahaz, was installed as king. But within 3 months, he was taken to Egypt. And this man, other son, his name was Eliakim, King Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he renamed him as Joachim, and installed him as king. And he reigned for 11 years. And the Bible says, during the time of Josiah and during this time of this king, Jeremiah prophesied. During the time of Josiah, Jeremiah prophesied and he turned and there was revival. But during the time of Joachim, when Jeremiah prophesied, there was no revival because the response to God's word from Joachim was terrible. Bible says in the fourth year, let's turn to chapter 36. I want us to turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 36. And it says in the fourth year of Joachim, son of Josiah, verse 1, king of Judah, that the word of God came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, take a scroll of a book and write on it the words I have spoken to you. Words against Israel, against Judah, and against the nations. For the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. This is God's purpose. God's been speaking from the time of Josiah till this time. And he's been telling them, look, adversity is going to follow. Famine, pestilence and sword will follow if you don't turn to the Lord. If your hearts are constantly going away from me, this is what I will send as judgment, as punishment. But the Lord was saying, that's not the end of it. I'm saying this, but in spite of that, if you turn back, I will relent. I will not send this. I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful. I'll extend my grace in your life. That is the message. And that's what I want us to constantly see. You know, we are people who constantly go astray. We are people who constantly err. But the Lord is saying, you know, if you come back, I'm with you. If you come back, I'm with you. But if you're constantly going the way of the world, turning away from the Lord, then the Lord is saying, I cannot help you. I cannot help you. So, in this instance, in this chapter, I mean, Jeremiah speaks, but in this chapter, God is asking Jeremiah to write it in a scroll. And he's asking this man to go and read it, Baruch, the son of Neriah. And he does that. Baruch actually goes to the first group of people. So just imagine, it's not the next day. Fourth year, he writes. Fifth year, you know, God is taking time. Actually, the whole book of Jeremiah was not written in a year. The whole book of Jeremiah is a ministry of Jeremiah for about 40 years. 20 years in the time of Josiah and another 22 years in the time of these two kings or four kings. So about 40 years. 40 years is like a generation. God is not a God who said something today and next week he sent judgment. God is a God of mercy. He gave a long time. So here the book was written in the first fourth year, and the next year he reads it to this first group. Verse 9. Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Verse 10. Then Baruch read the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate, in the hearing of all God's people. And verse 11. This gentleman, Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, he responds. He heard all the words of the Lord from the book, and he went down to the king's house, and he goes and tells all the princes, all the sons of the king. He says, look, this is the word that we had heard. This is the word that's been written in the scroll, the words that had come out of the prophet Jeremiah's mouth, and we heard it, and you know, judgment is coming. So he goes and prepares the second group of the princes. They also listen. But see what happened. And the princes listen. They say, look, now it's time to take it to the king. And they actually take it to the king. The king is sitting there. It's winter. And he's sitting with the fireplace nearby. And even before, you know, the first and second and third paragraphs are read, he becomes so angry, he pulls a scroll out of Baruch's hand and he drops it in the fire and burns that word. This is the first response. King Joachim, he heard God's word and he couldn't bear it. And for us also, when we hear punishment, wrong things, we don't like it. But there is a principle of God that justice will follow. He's a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. Similarly, earlier, that's why I said, you know, from 36th chapter, again, we've gone back to 26th chapter. This is Joachim. There is another gentleman, prophet, Urijah. He prophesied a similar thing. And when Joachim heard that, he went out to kill him. And this prophet ran all the way to Egypt. And Joachim sends people to Egypt, brings him back to Jerusalem and kills him there. That is Joachim. That is Joachim. And the Bible says, the heart of man, let's turn to chapter 17, verse 9. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Bible says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. This king was his own father. He's seen the revival in the time of his father. He's seen 20 years of Jeremiah's ministry in the time of his father. But when he became king, and when judgment was prophesied and call for repentance was given, he shunned it. In fact, he rebelled. He rebelled. He even put the prophet to death. That's the first response. But there's another group, the Rechabites. The Rechabites are the descendants of Kenites. They are not Jews, but they came and lived among the Jews. They came and lived in Jerusalem. Turn to chapter 35. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Joachim, son of Josiah. And that comes to the Rechabites. And the Bible says that Jeremiah is called to speak to these people, and he invites them. He invites them and brings them to the house of the Lord, and he places before them jars of wine and cups of wine, and then asks them to drink wine. And these Rechabites, they say, look, from the time of our fathers, we have not drunk wine. Our fathers said, don't even build houses, just live in tents. And they obeyed. See, while there's one king who is not even listening to God's word, there were communities of people who heard God's word and who would not be defiled by the word and who responded. He responded to. So Jeremiah is trying to, you know, entice them with wine. He's saying, no, we will not be defiled. God has called us to live a holy life, pure life. We may not have buildings, we may not have vineyards, but God, we are living in tents, but we are glad to come and worship the God of Israel. That's another group. But King Zedekiah, now that's the last king. Zedekiah is the last king, and many chapters are actually covering the life of Zedekiah. Verse 12, chapter 27, verse 12. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon. See, a time had come when destruction was going to come. Destruction was going to come. God had raised Nebuchadnezzar to come and invade Israel. God had prepared him to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the walls, even burn the temple, burn the city, and take the people captive. So now there is a chapter 27 is actually a prophetic act of Jeremiah. The Lord says, put on a yoke and go around. And the message was, people who want to live, he's saying, go and surrender to the king of Babylon who's going to come and invade you. Because now destruction is going to come to this land, and if you willingly go and surrender, then you will have some hope in the land of Babylon that I am taking you all to. That was the message. And when he does that, you know, there are people who don't like it. They say, no, Jerusalem will not fall. And there's a prophet Hanani, he says, they may go, but in 2 years they will come back. Because what has happened, actually, I want you to attend the Bible study, because it will take about half an hour to explain this. But the point was, there were three groups of invasions. Nebuchadnezzar came and, you know, took three groups of people. And the first group of it, we had Daniel and all the wise men, Queen Mother, all of them had gone. So Jeremiah is saying, look, there are people who have gone. If you people want to live, please go and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. But the prophet said, no, that won't happen. And he said, look, the people who have gone, in 2 years they will come back. That prophet also died. And then we see Jeremiah is imprisoned. Like I said, you know, the king Zedekiah, he knew that the time had come, and you know, if the enemy is going to come and capture me, let him capture Jeremiah also. And he came and imprisoned Jeremiah in the prison. But this is very interesting. You know, while we read the book of Jeremiah, I want us to see what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah is prophesying that this country, this city is going to be destroyed. They're going to be taken captives to exile. And at that time, he buys a field. In all this chaos and confusion where people are, you know, struggling for food. Actually, towards the end, people don't even have food. But this prophet has money. This prophet is now buying land. In our times, if he lived, he'll say, what is this? This prophet is buying land. Worldly man, you know, he condemned him. But this was a man of God. He knew the times. He knew that God would bring back. And he prophesied that in 70 years the people are going to come back. And they're going to build buildings. They're going to plant vineyards. This place is not God. This place is not forsaken. God will have mercy and will come back. Now, Jeremiah knew the God of covenant. And that's really what I want us to see. God is a God of covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, he says, a time is coming, a days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is a new covenant. New covenant. When we read the Bible has Old Testament and New Testament. Testament is covenant. New Testament is new covenant. So this is the covenant that he said, I will make. And we are the people living in the new covenant times. A covenant when he will write his words, you know, put his words in our heart, write it in our hearts. And when he will remember our sins no more. This morning when we had communion, that is the confidence that we came. You know, Old Testament people couldn't come like this. They could come once a year, Day of Atonement. You know, there also the priest had to go inside the Holy of Holies with his leg tied to the rope. Because supposing he died, he'll fall down dhup and they'll pull him out with the rope. That was a terrible time. But now, you know, we are able to draw near to the throne of grace because that curtain has been opened. This is the new covenant. Praise God. And Jeremiah understood that. You know, in a time of crisis when people are, you know, fleeing for their life, no food, he's buying land. And he's sealing it, saying, I know times will come, then the buildings will be built and vineyards will be planted. So, fourth group of people who obeyed. Like I said, there were three batches. There were three batches of people. If you read Jeremiah, the last chapter, Jeremiah talks about the people. 52 verse 28, the first batch of people, 3,023 people. And the second batch of people, 732 people. The third batch of people, 845 people. So about 4,600 people were actually taken captive, taken into as exiles. But the first batch, they went, the Bible says, and let's read that actually. The Bible says in chapter 29, actually let's turn to chapter 29 and we see who the people are who went into exile. Yeah. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of Israel. He says, Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened to Jeconiah the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, princes of Judah and Jerusalem, craftsmen, smiths who had departed from Israel. This included Daniel. So when you are reading the book of Jeremiah, you must remember this is also the time of Daniel. Daniel was a part of this first batch. 3,023 people went. And Nebuchadnezzar, he did, you know, the first time when he came, he took the king captive. He actually put shackles and took him, that king, Joachim. But his son, Joachim, within 100 days, he summoned him. And when he summoned him, he took the wise men, Daniel, and you know, all those wise men and the craftsmen, all those people were in this batch. So they're the first ones to go into Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is writing to these people. To the people who are in exile. Chapter 29, you know, we often read this word, chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for a future and a hope. That word is written to the exiles. And these people have gone there. And even when they are there, there are false prophets who are saying, look, God has forsaken you, God has forsaken you. No. Jeremiah is writing to those exiles saying, hey, God has not forsaken you. The people who are going to be here, they are going to be killed, they are going to, you know, the sword, the pestilence and the famine is going to completely eradicate. Everyone is going to die. You people, God has given you life. God has given, preserved your life. And now I want you to hear, he says, the Lord says, verse 5, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Take daughters for your husbands. Increase there, that you may increase. Verse 6, that you may increase and not be diminished. This is God's word. I want us to actually look at it. When we're reading the book of Jeremiah, we have to be very careful not to read it as a book of doom, not to read it as a book of destruction. It was to the people who did not obey. But to the people who obeyed, and Jeremiah was saying, hey guys, there's one batch that has gone. If you will obey, if you want to live, you go there. And he says, build buildings, plant vineyards, and live there. Pray for the city, because God takes his people out of judgment to a heathen nation. And just see the sovereignty of God. That's why Jeremiah sings, oh Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and earth by thy great hand. Nothing is too difficult for you. Why? Because even in captivity, God is able to make these people dwell well, live well. You know, a lot of people are living in captivity in a free land. In India, in America, a lot of people are living in captivity, bondage. But in places like China, in places like Saudi Arabia, there are a lot of people living free. That is the principle here. Jeremiah is saying, you guys, you're in captivity. Don't think you're in captivity. God has taken you there. And God has freed you. God has given you life. I want you to build buildings and plant vineyards and live well there. Pray for the city where you're taken. Have children and let your children get married and let this go on. Because he says, for 70 years, this will be like this. And in 70 years, I'll bring you back. He said, this is the prophecy. It will no longer be said, the God who took them out of Egypt. It will be said, the Lord who brought them back from the northern country. That is the God. You know, things are shifting. Earlier it was the people of Israel. Now it is you and I under the new covenant that God will bring us out of a heathen land, the northern country. We might be living in India, but the Lord is saying, in India, God is saying, build buildings, plant vineyards. God is taking you there to give you life. I don't know if you caught the word. I think this is something that is prophetic for us. You know, it's not just a message for the people in Jeremiah's time. It's a message for us to plant, to build and to plant. Building is to hear God's word and obey it. Planting is to prepare our good ground. I want to close with Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18 is a very profound chapter. The Lord, word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, rise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words. I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something of the wheel. And the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. There's a person who is a man of God, and I heard his story many years back. His father worked in the Indian Air Force. It's a very well-to-do, high-caste Brahmin family. He lived well. But the Lord revealed himself in a very special way, and he, you know, received Lord Jesus as personal savior. So soon he also left the house because he received Jesus. The family didn't accept him, and you know, they sent him away from the house. And you know, in the 70s, late 70s, it's not like how it is today. And he was living in a park in the city of Bangalore. And many days went by, and you know, he found life so difficult. And one day he decided to kill himself. He took poison, consumed poison, and he was there in the hospital. Somebody took him to the hospital, and you know, he's struggling for his life. And when he was struggling for his life, suddenly a man of God came into the hospital and told him this word. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, but the Lord fashioned it into another vessel made for the master's use. That man is still alive. He's 73. 73. And Jeremiah is telling these people, The people, he says, hey, you people, you are like the vessel, this clay in the hands of the potter. The Lord wanted to fashion you into some beautiful vessel, but you fell, you were marred, but thank God you're still in the hands of the potter. And the Lord wants to make you into a vessel, useful for the master's use. Now this is the message for the people who were, you know, backslidden, who were going away from the Lord. But the Lord is sending his prophet saying, look, you're still in my hands. I can fashion you into something else. If you will submit to me, if only you will listen to me. You know, this month, the beginning of the month, there's a picture that came. You know, the Lord is building a building. You know, that's why the message theme is to build and to plant. The Lord is building buildings. Each one of us, the Lord is building as a building, as a construction, as a, you know, high-rise building. And the Lord is planting us as huge trees, trees of righteousness. But in this process, suddenly we kind of, think that Lord's work is finished. What I mean to say is, let's say Ruby, that's a huge building in our, huge building. But by the time they came to the first, second floor, if the the architect or the person who's constructing it decided, hey, it's huge and nice, enough, Lord, enough, your work in my life is good, thank you, and we start putting a roof, what happens? You can't build beyond that. And many of us are doing this. You know, God has done some work. We're happy that he has built this far, and we're kind of putting a roof saying, thank you, Lord, this is enough. But the Lord is saying, this is not enough. My plan is 13, 14 floors, and you're stopping at one or two. Don't stop putting a, you know, tiled roof above and saying, enough, Lord. And the Lord is saying, if I have to build beyond that, now I have to blow off the roof that you have built. And the Lord is going to blow off the roof. These roofs are roofs of prejudices, roofs of preconceptions, preconceived notions that we have. That is preventing further building of the Lord. Our own deceptions, or our own rebellion sometimes, our own disobedience. The Lord is saying he's going to blow it off. I praise God, it's November, and we have one more month before the year is out. And the Lord wants to blow it off. You know, some of us want to say, no, Lord, don't blow it off. This is enough. Jeremiah would have said that. No, Jeremiah, 10 years not enough, 20 years not enough, 30, 40 years, there's a lot more that you have to speak, more and more that I have in store for you. The Lord says, I'm doing this. I know the plans that I have for you, plans for a future and a hope. Amen. Do you believe that? I want you to believe that. And if you're building roofs that have stopped the word of God, I want you to now say, Holy Spirit, take it off. Lord, please take it off. I want you to build over and complete that large, huge construction. How many of our floors he has for us? He has to finish that. He has to finish that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, your work, you're not done. You're not done. Lord is not finished. Lord has not finished with you. He wants to complete. He wants to complete. The vessel was marred in the hands of the potter, but he fashioned it into another vessel. Into another vessel. Thank you. The same chapter, he says, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster, he says. He also says, again, if I speak concerning a nation to build and to plant it, if it does evil and does not obey, I will relent concerning the good that I would do to benefit it. So God is a God who relents evil. God is a God who will relent even doing good if we are not cooperating with him. Let's cooperate. That's the message of the potter. The potter's message is that we will cooperate with the potter and love him to make us into that vessel which will be meet for the Master's use. Allow the Lord to build. Allow the Lord to plant. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. If you want to say, Lord, the month of November, the beginning of this month, I want to just dedicate my life to allow you to build. Sorry, Lord, I built roofs. I want you to lift up your hand and say, Lord, pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Father in heaven, I pray for every hand that is lifted up in Jesus' name. Lord, this is a commitment, Lord, that Lord, we don't want to put a roof. Remove the roofs that we have put over our heads. You're not done with us yet. And build, Lord, to completion. Plant, Father God, Master, that we may be the planting of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand and receive the blessing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit is building. Holy Spirit is planting. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each and every one of us, to build and to plant. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. We shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Please go out with joy. Please join us for the coffee fellowship.